Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Welcome to the new shadow, Amicus Veritas, Friend of the Truth. We're trying a new format, a shorter half-hour one. We'll try another one later during the week or next week. It's quite a bit. And the music in the background is March to the Scaffold. And it stopped. Good. It's written in the 19th century by Hector Berlioz. And, of course, we'd like to send some of our corrupt people to the scaffold. That's wishful thinking, of course. You know, they've got too much clout and power right now. But karma catches up with them. Anyway, I want to talk about, as a former retired and a retired investigator, did legal work, insurance work, flowchart for the FBI on the affordable housing racket. One of my interests, and it should be everyone's interest who drives a car and has auto insurance or should have auto insurance, will the Obama health care plan affect your auto insurance, especially the medical payment clauses and any recoveries you might get or should get if you're a victim in an auto accident? Nobody's talking about that, and I can't get any answers on anybody in Washington. So it's something to think about, because I understand there are 1,000 pages in this proposed health care plan, which somebody was referring to as Moscow Medical Insurance. So nobody knows all the specifics. And this goes on in Washington, that these congressmen and women get these bills. They're loaded. They're amendments tacked on. People don't have time to read them. And the people who do read them or go through them or who push them on the desk of the congressperson are often people who have a vested interest or who have been influenced, whether it's by money or by promises of payoffs or gratuities later on. So it's very important. That's something that Congress needs to address, and people need to press that, hey, you know, take all of this, all these amendments out of these bills and have one bill with a simple clauses in it, so people and the people responsible for looking at it and legislating on it or making amendments to it know what they're getting. 1,000 pages in such a short time, nobody can consume that. So that's one of the problems with Obamacare, the way I see it, and other people who have worked in the insurance investigation and the legal field. So that's something you might want to contact your congressperson. And it's very interesting. If you try to contact them via email on the web, unless you're from that state, you're blocked out. So the best thing is to use those free 800 lines and to get through, unless you have unlimited national calling. So, get off your duff. Don't complain. Don't moan. If you complain behind their backs and you don't tell them, to their office, you don't call their offices, then you deserve what you get, and you'll get no sympathy. Another thing that's cropped up is, of course, we're hearing now that the New York Times may go, their presses may stop and be dismantled or be sold. I understand that one of the richest men in the world, Carlos Slim, who's a Mexican national, owns a lot of companies and influences politics and elections and governments down there in Mexico and maybe in other parts of the world. He's an investor in the New York Times. So it could very well become a bilingual paper. Now, to get something happened yesterday. I was at my old school, Western Public Radio, where I learned to do radio production, editing tapes and doing interviews and being a foreign correspondent in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. I walked in and how the place had changed. It's at Old Fort Mason, and I'll put it up on my Amicus Veritas YouTube site. It's now Radio Bilingue, and the people who were there when I was there in the 80s who did weren't political, and Leo Cosmo Lee was the founder of Western Public Radio. Interesting man, born in Nevada, brought up by his sister. He was orphaned. And he boxed his way literally and figuratively through University of California at Berkeley. I went to work. Went to work for the old Cal Examiner in San Francisco. Our Cal Bulletin was a copy editor for the San Francisco Hearst-owned Examiner. Then started his own paper. Then went to work. He was a lifelong Democrat, a moderate Democrat. Went to work for Governor Goodwin Knight, who was the successor to Earl Warren when Earl Warren was appointed Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. That was done in 1952-53 by President Eisenhower. And he was able to be an unbiased press secretary, gave access to everybody, and didn't play political games like a lot of these press secretaries do, or propagandists or PR people, as I call them. But he was the first one to broadcast a Republican, a presidential nominating convention for NPR. The Republicans, when they met in Kansas City, I think it was in the mid-70s. So that was the first for him, and he started Western Public Radio to train radio producers, correspondents, engineers, and the tuition was very reasonable. And I learned a lot from them. So I would say, it's sad that what it was is no longer there. But anyway, I've got over 1,500 interviews that I did and productions I did also for KALW, San Francisco Unified School District's radio. So one of the first one in the West and one of the last ones, radio stations that belong to a municipal school district. So I will be putting up all kinds of interesting things, interviews with famous lawyers like Melvin Belli, and he's talking about the death of his iguana, and animal rights, which is an interesting esoteric field. I did many interviews with that. A lot of historical people. I'm working. I finally got some of the software working, so I'm transferring converting the tapes that I did that have interviews on them, like Brigadier Ingall, who was the last British commander up there in Pakistan and Afghanistan back in the late 50s. He was one of the founders of the Pakistan Military Academy. And one of his students is believed to have been Musharraf, the last dictator president of Pakistan. And he had some interesting things. He became the honorary consul general, or consul here in San Francisco. And he wrote a memoir, and he gave me a copy, and I interviewed him about an hour's interview. And so I will extract some interesting things about Afghanistan, which most Americans never, unless you traveled there for hash or were going to Tibet, one of the hippies back in the 60s and 70s. If you were a student of history, you knew something about Afghanistan. Or if you were a dog person, you knew something about the Afghan hound. So I've got a 40-year experience in the history of Afghanistan, dealing with Afghans and those that whole period. It always fascinated me in the charge of the Light Brigade. If you want to get an idea, incidentally, about the Russian meddling, he does discuss that. General Ingall brought that up, and the disastrous British wars up there. They had three or four of them up there. But if you want to get an idea about Russian meddling, which goes back to the time of the Tsars and after the Crimean War, see the first movie Errol Flynn did, one of the first, called The Charge of the Light Brigade. It's made in the 30s with Donald Crisp, a fascinating black and white film. A lot of it's accurate. And there, of course, there's the typical romantic bit, but it gives you historical insight into Russian meddling, which still goes on, some people say, up there in the northwest frontier, Afghanistan and Pakistan, that region. And so I'll get that up. It's almost ready. It just has to be cleaned up. Now, another thing that's happening with the media, I don't know if it's happening around the country, but it's happening here in the Bay Area, and it's been going on for some time. People are so disgusted that even with the alternative papers, you will open the free boxes of the Bay Guardian and some of the other papers, and people throw dead pigeons in there, a dead cat once, a rat, a lot of dog do. Fortunately, it was in a bag. But because the newspapers, both commercial and corporate, commercial and alternative papers, like the San Francisco Guardian, the San Francisco Chronicle, a corporate paper, people are so disgusted with the censorship, the suppression, the lies, distortions, omissions, and people don't want to, and then they increase the price. The Bay Guardian used to be 25 cents when it first started in the 60s, came out twice a month. It was a great paper, even though it was far left. They reported a lot of things that people needed to know. Now, ever since they got into crotch politics, nude beaches, and sexual activities, people got getting tired of that, even though it is a free paper. And it became a free paper by suing the Chronicle and the joint operating agreement, which a lot of papers started around the country to cut their costs. So that's what's happening. But this is interesting. I put in 50 cents. It's still 50 cents, although they're charging 75 cents for the daily and $2 for the weekly. And the machine jammed. It was genuine quarters, genuine coin of the realm. And then finally I pushed the button, and the money came out along with a slug. So this is what's going on. And I talked to the driver who filled these boxes, and I said, "Are you experiencing this?" And they said, "Yes." And they put notices, and we'll put this up on our YouTube site. I think it'll go up there, or one of our other ones, Yahoo, is another one of our sites, Amicus Veritas. And what's going on, people don't realize whether they're doing this because of the economy, they don't have the money, they're just being angry and malicious, or maybe they had this coin in their pockets. Incidentally, some foreign coins, I'm not going to tell the countries because I don't want to encourage this, but I will say this, some foreign coins are of the same weight as an American quarter or other of our coinage, and I've seen these have gone into laundromats, coin machines, parking meters, and also in the newspaper racks. So a lot of things are going on, and it could be a lot of factors involved, but there is definitely a growing outrage at the media, and people aren't sympathetic with these journalists, these PR people. These aren't real journalists. A lot of these people, they push an agenda. They're very angry at what isn't reported, and they're tired of where some of the papers are offering a lot of splashy color instead of solid content. We will have an interview with someone who was present or was in Chicago at the 1968 convention where Walter Cronkite was the CBS anchorman there with Dan Rather. And in that convention, Dan Rather got knocked down by some problems on the floor. So he was knocked down. Walter Cronkite saw it, and he made a comment about thugs or something like that. And the riots were going on in the streets, or the disturbances. Interestingly, as someone who covered that and shot a film as a student, nobody was killed. Nobody had broken bones. The police did rough people up. And I'm hoping to have a journalist, a real journalist, who was there. And he's got great credibility. And hopefully he can fill us in on some of the things that I don't know about or maybe have forgotten, since it has been almost 40 years. But what happened was I was present when Allen Ginsberg was talking about putting LSD in the water. We were down by the lakefront, and everybody was doing and all of that, and this was before the convention started. And they were talking about doing these very things. Mayor Daley, the first Mayor Daley, freaked. And the Chicago police were very angry because of what had happened during, they were caught literally flat-footed during the riots after Martin Luther King's assassination and murder. And also, that time in 68, we had the riots in Paris. The De Gaulle government fell. He retired. He said, "I had enough of this. I've saved France twice." And then we had Czechoslovakia. Czech Spring was called, and when Dubček declared that they wanted to be independent of Moscow and wanted to liberalize Czechoslovakia, which has been broken up into several districts now, the Russians and Andropov, the head of the KGB, moved in tanks and threw him out. Luckily, he didn't end up in a concentration camp or prison like they did in 1956 with Imre Nagy, the premier of Hungary, when they had the Hungarian Revolution, and the United States refused to send in troops to help the Hungarians free themselves of the Russian yoke. I'll get into I had an interview with the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and he mentions Andropov, who later became what Gorbachev was or what Putin. And it's interesting, Putin also was with, I believe, Russian military intelligence, not the KGB, that's what I keep hearing. So, but they all, drink from the same vodka glass. So So these are some things that are coming up. I'll offer more practical advice. Now, as a former, or I should say retired, because I'm dealing with some other cases right now in my retirement, person who's dealt with auto accidents, people who are traveling, and maybe you, some people can afford to travel by car or whatever, and I emphatically tell you this, if you're coming, especially to places in, like San Francisco, where we have one of the highest traffic fatality rates in the country and violations, tailgating left and right, and BMWs and Mercedes, especially driven by some of these yuppie women and the homosexual activists. And there's a, they put a thing on their bumper. I will post it on the web, what you can recognize when you're behind one of these people. But they tailgate, they pull in front of you, they don't signal, and when you complain about it, they give you the finger and all kinds of things. They should have their licenses permanently revoked. And they're on the cell phone, and they're texting, despite the fact that we've had major accidents and facility fatalities with involving people who are victims of these drivers and that train operator who was texting his girlfriend. That was that's his epitaph. But anyway, this is what's going on. Now, here are some practical tips I emphatically suggest you do if you're going to be traveling by car and going to places. Number one, get a good cell phone, preferably one that's a camera phone, and you can download the photos. Number two, time date it so that our you know, make sure the date's working on that thing, and it works, because there are less phones on the streets, and it's harder to get to a payphone if you're in an accident or if you need to call AAA or whatever. So a cell phone is valuable. If you're afraid of those microwaves, I suggest you get a headset because there's still questions about these electromagnetic waves and what it can do to your brains, and does it cause cancer. So that's controversy that you ought to be aware of. Number two, get a good digital cameras. The price, or camcorders, the price is coming down. Set it up so it's time-dated. Set the audio on. If you are in an accident, do the following. Not only get the license plates, photograph everything and make sure that, you know, the scenery around the accident, if the cars are still together, the license plate, the driver, any people who are around at the time. Don't be afraid to aim that camera and make sure that it works. And if it's a rear-ender, or always check the undercarriage and the structure of the vehicle, because most adjusters don't want to get on their knees and photograph that stuff. I know people that's happened to several times, and they find out there's been structural damage or undercarriage damage, and they try to get compensated by their insurer, and you know, there's a problem. So do that, and of course get all the information. And make no statements except to the police, and follow your and contact your insurance company, and make a report to the reporting agency in your state or in the state where this happens, or province, I guess. It's very interesting. I just looked at a case involving the auto insurance of British Columbia. They paid a California case. Apparently, one of their insured hit somebody down here in California. And finally went to a jury trial, and the auto insurance company of British Columbia, I don't know much about it, but they paid a big sum of money. But this is, you know, this is something people should think about, that if Obamacare does come in, it looks like a mess. And interestingly, you know, nobody, I've tried to find out, has any congressman or woman, congresswoman, gone to Canada or had, you know, qualified people go up there and really look at their system. Has any of them gone to Britain, where there are complaints also, and looked at their system, how it operates? What are there's got to be a couple of good points. On the Fox News yesterday, on the Neil Cavuto show, they had a black woman, a young black woman, who said she was a small business operator and a Democratic Party consultant, and she's either ignorant or she's lying. Or lie, she said, oh, people go to the emergency room when they don't have medical care. Well, you know what's happening in the emergency rooms? If this isn't a life-threatening emergency, like a heart attack, they're not going to treat you. What they do, at least here in California, is they send you to the drop-in clinic and tell you to come in the morning to the drop-in clinic, and if you don't have insurance, it's covered. So, or somebody pays, but if you don't have it, you're taken care of. We also have drug dealers, people who are flipping out on drugs. If the ambulances don't come out to pick them up, public ambulances especially, these cost a city and the California taxpayer about $500 a trip at least. And I've known of cases where they've come out two and three times in one day with the same person who they took to the hospital, took to the emergency ward. He was taking care of his drug dose, overdose. Comes home, does it again. They come back out, and they get very nervous, and especially people who have AIDS, you know, homosexuals who will not stop taking illegal drugs. So this is something, you know, people need to look at all of these things. But I was really surprised that nobody has raised that question. All these congressmen who are pushing Obamacare, national health care, have not looked at, examined the other systems that they talk about. So, I mean, would you want a doctor operating on you who didn't know the disease, you know, or had no experience? Think about that. You know, when they put you under, you might be under permanently. So that's something to think about and something to make your congressperson aware of, and also the medical pay clause of your auto insurance policies. So it's something to look at. And these supplemental insurances like the what Medicare and some of the other insurance plans don't cover, people often have supplemental insurance policies to fill in that gap. So that hasn't been addressed. So there are many questions there. But again, you know, you've got to be aware today. You know, I always tell people, don't complain behind their backs. Tell them to their face. Stand up, speak out, stand firm. Remember that the meek don't inherit the earth. They inherit the dirt if they can afford 6 feet of it. So keep that in mind. And one of the lessons I learned when I worked for the federal government, I had to deal with what we call DPs, displaced persons, people who have come. Refugees from Eastern Europe, from the Nazi horrors. One thing a lot of them told me, especially the Germans who they didn't even practice Judaism. They thought God had abandoned them long before that, and they were cultural Jews at best. But they said, you know, one guy had served in World War I, and he says, you know, I didn't believe it when they were herding me into the boxcars. I showed him my medals, and they said, you're going to Auschwitz or whatever anyway. And so it didn't work, and a lot of them thought, and I've heard this time and time again, that if we're meek, if we're quiet, they'll leave us alone, they won't bother us, we'll get through this. It doesn't work that way. If they have an agenda, it doesn't matter what you do. They're going to try to impose that on you and deal with you as they will and they think they can get away with. So that's something to think about, that it doesn't pay to be meek in these situations. You know, and the people in the Warsaw Ghetto, when they rose up against the Nazis, when they tried to herd the rest of them into the camps, they did the best thing. They did the thing that decent people should do, is fight back. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to take it. If you do and you complain behind their backs and you don't confront them on this, you deserve what you get, and you'll get no sympathy. So don't expect any. So enough of that preaching. So again, I want to tell people, be alert when you go out traveling now. In fact, I always take my camera with me because I've nearly been hit in the street by these crazy drivers, especially ones. I hate BMW drivers more and more. I wish BMW would tell that when they lease these cars out. That's why you see so many of them, that BMW and Mercedes made it easy for these people to lease them. And now these people, some of them are living in these cars until the lease expires. But they should, you know, like Budweiser used to tell people, and some of a lot of the alcohol companies, wine and liquor, tell people to drink responsibly. Well, I think the BMW and Mercedes and Volvo should tell the people who buy and lease their cars to drive responsibly. And if you're a victim of one of these drivers, complain to Volvo, complain to BMW, complain to Mercedes. What's the other one? Hummer. Well, yeah, those are going to be buried. But, you've got to start standing up and thinking, hey, nobody's going to protect me unless I protect myself and my children and my family. Now, there's something coming up on Acorn. I just learned that Acorn exported their propaganda to Canada, so I'm getting some more information on that. So we'll probably have an interview, hopefully, if this comes through, with somebody who lived up there and exposed Acorn up there. I didn't know that they had crossed borders, so God knows wherever else they are. But interestingly, when I was a college student, I went in Dolly Sonnenstrom's speech class at Wright College. I had to go down and interview the Woodlawn organization that was started by Saul Alinsky, one of the people I don't think Obama, he was dead by then. In fact, it's interesting. Saul Alinsky was one of the people that responsible for ACORN, and he conned the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, Archbishop Scheel, and the Catholic youth organizations. They fell under Alinsky's spell. He's a very articulate man, very devious, though. But for all his talk about poverty, guess where he died? He died in Carmel, California, one of the wealthiest areas in California, Carmel especially. And in fact, one of my favorite actors, Clint Eastwood, was mayor down there, but that was long after Saul Alinsky died. But very few people know that. And here's, you know, you hear all this talk about these poverty, these people say, we're going to eliminate poverty. In fact, ACORN put up signs in San Francisco's yuppie areas where a lot of expensive restaurants, and this is, I hope to get it up this week, telling people, you know, this is their idea of stimulating your appetite, telling people they were going to tell these yuppies how to get in on, get money from the government. And what was it, $1,500 a month or something like that? That's what was there. So I would recommend that you, start paying attention to these so-called community organizations. Incidentally, one of the leftists, what I call lavender leftists, he was a homosexual activist and a poverty profiteer. He once defined what they thought community should mean. And he said to me, community is our people. Community is to us, or defined to defined our way is people who agree with us, not people who live in a certain area and, you know, contribute, live there and try to be good neighbors. And you may have different politics or be apolitical, but it's people who agree with their agenda. That's how they define community. So keep that in mind when you hear a community. It's like transparency. Have you noticed that the people who use the word transparency often and more often, they use it for the people who disagree with them or the people that they oppose, and it doesn't apply to them. I find this very interesting, you know. And diversity, it's the same thing. Diversity is for other people, not for them. And what's the other one? NIMBY, not in my backyard. Well, we've got a counter to that, a GB, yes, in your backyard. You know, you won't find these affordable housing projects and public housing projects in the backyards or in the neighborhoods of these people or the communities of these poverty profiteers. So it's a lot of hypocrisy using the language. But I wanted to encourage people to go to my YouTube Amicus Veritas videos, what we call Video Verite, and there'll be a variety of things up there and the topics that I've interested in. So I want to thank you for listening, and bear with me. This is about the fourth or fifth program. We're getting it worked out. We're honing all the rough spots and finessing. So go to my, I can't respond to all people who want to, I've got about all these inquiries. So what I suggest is you email me at amicusveritas.org. And I'll respond to the emails. It's easier for me to do that. And I want to thank you for listening. And we'll try to do two shows a week of half hour each. It's easier for me. And we'll have a variety of guests, both local, national, and international. So, again, thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with me. And I hope, we'll get this improved. And the information I give out is helpful to you. And if you have suggestions or criticisms or comments, please do. So thanks again, and we'll see you, or we'll be putting up stuff for you to view later on our YouTube site. That seems to be the best one. People go to that one. So I want to thank you for listening, and we're just about ready to go off the air. And next week we'll have the next edition. We'll have that French national anthem complete, as I promised. We had a little problem with the disc. So this is Peter Paul Brizola and the new shadow, Amicus Veritas, friend of the truth. Thank you for listening. And I won't say that's the way it is.